Okay, so Colossians 4, page 1184. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Great, thank you. Do keep that passage in the Bible open. And let's ask for God's help as we look at it. That's on. Father, thank you for these words. And Father, we pray now for your Spirit's help, Lord, to help us see, to help us to fix our hearts and our minds on things above, to see properly and to live out our lives properly in light of what the world really is like. When we set our hearts and minds above. So, Lord, we need your help to do that. We pray for it right now. We ask that you'd open your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Probably about a year ago, I think it was a year ago, it might have been longer, actually, a chap called Philip Jensen came and spent some time with us over here, and he had a really good illustration about Phuket Beach. And I remember listening to this illustration and thinking, wow, that's a great illustration. I'm going to use that. Here's my opportunity. Phuket Beach was one of the beaches hit by the tsunami. A great scene of devastation. And I want you to imagine for a minute if you were helicoptered onto Phuket Beach the day after the tsunami. You're a medic, you're there, you're a surgeon, you're trained, you know how to help people, you've got your medicines with you, and you land on this beach, and there you are. It's a scene of destruction everywhere. There are people dying all around you. And there's just you, and your knowledge, and your medicines, and your skills. And everywhere people are dying. Now that would focus the mind a little bit, wouldn't it? As you stood there and surveyed everything that was going on, that would focus the mind. Save as many as possible. That's all that there would be, wouldn't it? That would be what life was about. Be a bit weird, wouldn't it, if you landed and thought, oh, I tell you what, I haven't been to this part of the world before. I might just take in a few sights. See what it's got to offer. Or maybe, you know, you spend some time putting up your sort of medical certificates on the wall and looking at them and thinking, yeah, I'm a really good doctor. Or maybe you just thought, well, look, I just need to get my accommodation sorted. Once I've got my accommodation sorted, well, then I'll, you know, have a look at all this devastation that's going on around me. You pop down to the local, I don't know what it would be. Well, it wouldn't be there, but the local market. And there you go. Try and pick out some nice curtains. Get some carpets, some rugs, you know, that sort of thing. Deck the place, your place out. Oh, nice. Nice. Now I'll get going. That'd be weird, wouldn't it? You'd have to not really be seeing life properly to do that. Your mind would have to be in the wrong place to do that, wouldn't it? Heart and mind on completely the wrong thing. If you saw life properly, if your mind was right, everything inside you would just say, save lives. But of course, if you had that mindset, save lives, just you, there you are, scene of devastation, it would be pretty tough, wouldn't it? On your own. So many people in need. That'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? You soon get discouraged, soon get tired, soon begin to think this is pretty impossible, to think I can't make a dent here. What's going on? This is impossible. I can't do it. And then imagine, just imagine, all right, it's going to be slightly hard to imagine, but anyway, imagine every now and again, you know, you got a little break and you went on Facebook, okay? And you went on Facebook, and on Facebook were all your medic mates, okay, that you'd left behind. And there they were, and they were posting all the stuff that they were up to. And so there they are, and you know, some of them are on their holidays. And they're, you know, it's eternity pools everywhere, and they're lying around, and they're having a great time. Look at me. And maybe some of them are just telling you about their luxury homes or their new sofas that they've just bought and how they're enjoying life. Maybe pictures of their nights out or their meals out. Enjoying everything that life has to offer. That would be crushing, wouldn't it? That would just be crushing, wouldn't it? Discouraging. As there you are, you're trying desperately to save lives of people dying all around. Some people we get to too late. Some people maybe don't want to be saved. Leave me alone. Some you just can't get to. And all the time, all your friends, they're doing something else. They're enjoying life. You'd want to give up, wouldn't you, after a while? You'd want to give in. Maybe you'd think after a while, I just want to do something for me. I'm fed up with this. I'm going to do something for me. Maybe go for a nice meal. Forget the saving lives thing. I just need to please myself for a bit. But just imagine if you were getting to that point and you were thinking, I've had enough of this, I can't do it. It's too hard. Just imagine if you suddenly then saw a whole bunch of helicopters coming over the horizon. A whole bunch of them. And as they come into land, a whole army of medics come jumping off these helicopters and they're running towards you. And it's like a scene from an American film, and they're high-fiving you and patting you on the back and saying, well done, mate, well done, what a fantastic job. We're here to help. And that night you could tell stories to one another of how people had been saved, and each of you would be on board with saving lives, and each of you would see life exactly how it is, and you'd be dedicated and you'd be encouraging one another to keep going. that would keep us going, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that give us some energy, some drive, some encouragement, some strength, some power to keep going? Keep seeing life properly. Keep the right mindset. Of course, you know, that's just an imaginary thing, isn't it? Well, it isn't really, is it? That is what the Christian life is like, isn't it? So easy to stop seeing life properly, isn't it? To stop seeing that actually we are on Phuket Beach. We are surrounded by people who are dying. Surrounded by people who are lost. And we've got the medicine. So easy to become discouraged. To see the task as a bit impossible. So easy to get distracted by what everybody else is doing and think, actually, that's what I want. That's where life is. I just need a bit of that. So easy to stop seeing life properly, to set our hearts and minds on earthly things and not on things above. What help is there for us? How do we keep going? How do we keep living in Christ? How do we keep seeing life properly when we're actually surrounded by people who are immersed in earthly things? What does it look like for us to set our hearts and minds above, outside of the church, outside of the home, in the world, where we're surrounded by people who are very earthly? That's what this passage is all about. It's about hearts and minds above in the world. Paul, you might remember, has been encouraging a bunch of real Christians. He says that, chapter 1, you're real Christians. You've heard the real gospel from a real gospel preacher. You're producing the real fruit of a Christian. And he's encouraging them to keep going. No doubt many of us here today. And he would say the same to us. Keep going. To continue to live in the fullness of life that Christ has given them. And he said the key to continuing, so chapter 2 verse 6, continue. The key to that, chapter 3 verses 1 to 4, set your hearts and minds on things above. To focus on their life with Jesus Christ, the life that he has now raised them to. The life that is secure for them in God, the life that is hidden, the life that will be revealed in glory when he returns. He's told them that hearts and minds set on things above are going to radically change things, radically change their church life. So they're going to be people who put to death the selfishness that is so normal and natural to us. And they're going to put on love. And it's going to radically change their home life. We saw that last week. Wives are going to submit to husbands. Husbands are going to love their wives and not themselves. Children will obey their parents. Parents will disciple their children in God's grace. Workers will work for Christ with integrity, and bosses will treat their people with justice and generosity. How'd that go last week? It's good that Jesus died, isn't it? And now Paul talks about how setting our hearts and minds above is going to really impact. It's going to change the way we live in the world. It's going to change what we're about. And the first thing Paul says is this. He says, pray for things above. Pray for things above, verses 2 to 6. Let's look at these words together. Verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. He tells the Colossians right here, verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer. Now, I think he means by that, devote your own life to prayer. Not pray a lot, okay? But they will pray a lot. But in a sense, devote the comings and goings of your life to prayer. Because he goes on to say, verse 3, and pray for us too. So pray for yourselves, but pray for us too. And what does he ask them to pray for them? He asks that God may open a door for our message to proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul says, look, you guys devote your lives to prayer and pray for us too, that we would have an open door to talk about Jesus. So you guys, you pray for an open door to talk about Jesus and pray for us too, that we would have an open door to talk about Jesus. That's what he wants them to do. He wants them to pray for him. He wants them to pray for themselves, that they'd be able to talk about Jesus. See, the Christian whose heart and mind is set on things above is someone who is reminded that my life is hidden with Christ and one day it's going to be revealed in glory. And that's it. That's life. That's what it's about. You're either in Christ and you're going to be revealed in glory, or you're not in Christ and something terrible is coming. I watched, I don't know if you watch DIY SOS. Have you ever watched that? Oh, tell you what. It's good. I like it. I mean, I really like it. But it's basically some people who have, you know, really hard lives, hard life stories in houses that are not helping them. And these guys come in and they basically totally do it over so that it's brilliant. Okay, that's what it's DIY SOS, but honestly, I watched one this week. I was in tears. This poor man, honestly, motor neurones disease, 30-year-old, two young kids, and your heart is breaking, just breaking for this bloke. And they're sitting there and they're being interviewed and he's talking and all he's saying is, I just want to make the most of my time now and create memories for my kids. Create memories for my kids. I just want them to know they had a dad. Okay? And you're sitting there sort of... But you're also thinking, it's bigger than that. You can't see it, but it's bigger than that. It's not just, I've got a couple of years left to make some memories. There's eternity to be had. And when we set our hearts and minds on things above, we're reminded of that. And so we will pray. And we will be a person who will be watchful for opportunities. We will be a person who's thankful for opportunities given. We'll be people who are alive to the work of God in any situation. We will see life properly, that life is actually a set of God-given opportunities to say something about Jesus. If only we'd pray for him to open a door. And notice, I think he prays for an open door. Do you see that? I pray for an open door. All right? He's not praying just for any old door to bang his head on. Okay? Sometimes I think, I don't know whether it's because we pressurize people a bit too much. I don't know, maybe. We know that talking about Jesus is important. That's what we're thinking about here. But sometimes when we're sat around, that's all that we sort of hear, and then we feel bad, don't we, because we haven't had an opportunity. And so let's just get anybody. I don't care whether they hate Jesus, whether they hate me. I don't care. I'm just going to find somebody so that next time we do an event, I can wheel them in. and then at least I can say I've ticked the box, okay, and people will get off my case. Don't do that. Pray for an open door. Pray for a door we can walk through. Pray for somebody that God would put us in touch with, somebody who's he's already at work in. That he's priming, that he's working in, so that we can come alongside them and speak the gospel to them. Don't just pray for any old door to bang on. By all means, bang on every door. But pray for an open one. We don't want to waste our time, do we? We don't want to spend our life banging on a door that's never going to open. I don't, anyway. I want to see God work. I want to see God save somebody. So pray that he'd show you an open door. Notice also, pray for the opportunities, and pray, verse 4, for help to say it properly. Isn't that great? The Apostle Paul prays for help to proclaim Jesus clearly. Isn't that great? Isn't that encouraging? He doesn't think he can do it just on his own. He prays for some help. Help me. So that I say it clearly. Okay, most of us, lots of us, some of us, will use this as a bit of an excuse. I don't know what to say. Doesn't matter. Pray. God's quite big. He'll help us. We may think we've said completely the wrong thing, but you're not God. How do you know it's the wrong thing? So pray. Pray for help, that God would help us to say the right thing. He's capable of doing that. Prayer is essential, isn't it? Prayer is essential in continuing as a Christian in a world that is set on earthly things. Prayer reorientates our hearts, reorientates our minds on things above, helps us to see life properly again, and enables us to be effective in talking about Jesus. I am delighted when I hear that your prayer meeting is a great thing, that numbers are good. That is brilliant. Keep praying. Devote your day to prayer. Pray for open doors. Where are we going? Who are we meeting today, tomorrow? Pray for an open door from God. If we see life properly, we'll see we're on Phuket Beach. If we see life with eyes set above, this is obvious. As are verses 5 to 6. Let's have a look at verses 5 to 6. 5 to 6, they're all about the same thing, I think. About our life being for opportunities to talk about Jesus. The first thing which we've seen is pray. Pray for opportunities. The second is take them. Take them when they come. That's verse 5. And then third, verse 6, say something salty. Okay, say something salty. All right, so we've got pray for opportunities, take them, say something salty. There's a film. I don't know if it's out yet, or been out, or gone. It was called The Brand New Testament. Anyone see this? No, maybe it's not out yet. Brand New Testament. It's a French film. That may be why nobody's seen it. And I think it goes like this. It's about God. And God has a daughter in this film. Okay, and the daughter is sort of a bit angsty and that kind of thing. And so the daughter texts everybody in the world their death date. Okay? She texts everybody in the world the day they are going to die. And so the rest of the film asks the question, well, what do you do now? What do you do now? You've just had a text saying you're going to die. And so there's all these sort of funny things of, you know, young lads jumping out of windows trying to kill themselves and landing on sort of great big cushions that seem to be driving by and things like that. It looks quite amusing. But the Christian whose heart and mind is set above lives a bit like that, don't we? So we live focused on a reality that we know is certain and we know is coming. We don't have the date, but we know there's a deadline. And that affects what we do now. It should encourage us to try and be wise in the way we act towards people who don't know Jesus. So that we can make the most of every opportunity with them. Literally, it means to buy the moment. You work for the moment, you buy it. People have no life without Christ. We have life in Christ. Be wise with people. Look for an unusual comment. Sometimes we're chatting with people, they say something that's a bit weird. Jump on it. Look for them sharing something. Take the moment. Force a moment. Graham Daniels, the director of Christians in Sport, he's great. I enjoy him. I wish I had a pocket Graham Daniels because my evangelism would be a lot better. He says this: ask a question, say something about Jesus. That's it. That's what he does. Ask a question, say something about Jesus. But he has a number of questions which he sort of has in his head, which he knows will lead somewhere. So he's a director at Cambridge United. They used to play for Cambridge United. And so often when he's at a football match and somebody asks him, oh, what's your connection with Cambridge United? And he will say, oh, I used to play professionally for Cambridge United, but I gave it up. And of course, the next question that somebody is going to ask is, oh, right, well, why did you give it up? And he's in, and then he's in. Okay. Now, he knows that's what somebody's going to ask. Lots of us are English, or we're adapting to English ways. Here's an English way, right? Somebody will say, what did you do at the weekend? Or you say, what did you do at the weekend? Go to work. What did you do at the weekend? Okay, and they'll say, oh, well, you know, we did this. Da, 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 da. Now, the classic English thing to do next is for them to say, oh, what did you do at the weekend? And you're in. Just normal stuff. Ask a question. Say something about Jesus. So he'd say, yeah, oh, well, I gave up playing football because I was told about Jesus, and I thought the best thing I could do with my life after that was to help other people know about Jesus. Do you know about Jesus? I went to church on Sunday, and there was some bloke, and he was talking all about how we talk to people about Jesus in the world. Has anyone ever talked to you about Jesus in the world? No? Oh, okay, fine. Okay. Work for a moment, buy a moment. Be wise in the way we act. Be looking for opportunities to speak, which we prayed for. Take them. Thursday night I play football, five-a-side, and it's quite hard, actually, to get any opportunities. So I've not been doing it very long, but blokes, okay, classic blokes, what we do is we arrive about 2 minutes before we start, and then we leave straight away afterwards, okay? That's what we do. As least contact as possible. Thursday night, chap Mark, who runs it, we got chatting, and just to encourage you, I completely blew it twice, okay? Completely blew it. He asked me if I was the minister of the church, okay? And I said, yeah, I am, yeah. We've been going about 2 years, you know, talked about it. Yeah, what a stupid way to answer that question. Are you the minister of the church? Yes, I am the minister of the church. Have you ever been to church? Do you know anything about church? That would be much better, wouldn't it? No. Yes, I am. Yes, we've been going about 2 years. We meet in a school and, you know. Oh, right, okay. Then I said, we meet. He lives quite close to where we meet. I said, oh, yeah, well, we meet at 10 a.m. At Bell Farm, actually. Oh, do you? Yeah. Oh, well, anyway, so, you know, it's just rubbish, isn't it? I mean, all I had to do was say, you ever been to church? You like, ever heard anything about Jesus? Didn't do it, didn't buy the moment. Don't be like me. We've got to have our hearts and minds set on things above. That's the thing, isn't it? Okay. Even in that moment, we've got to have our hearts and minds set on things above. Got to be thinking. Say something about Jesus. Say something about Jesus. He doesn't care that you meet in Bell Farm School. He doesn't care. Got to be ready, haven't we, to overcome the fear. Overcome that fear that says you're going to look weird. He's going to think you're an idiot. How do we do that? By setting our hearts and minds on things above. Jesus is coming back. This guy's not saved. Who cares if he doesn't like you? Who cares if he thinks you're weird? He probably does anyway. He needs Jesus. And of course, verse 6, we have to speak. We want conversation full of grace. That is, I think, either gracious in nature or gracious in content. That is, we speak with the compassion and the kindness and the beauty of the gospel. And we speak about the compassion and the kindness and the grace and the beauty and the rescue of the gospel. But we're also seasoned with salt. I heard John Piper once say that salt creates thirst. I thought that was helpful. We want our words and our life to create a thirst for Jesus. Truth is, if our heart and mind is set above, then we're going to be salty. We'll be different. And our difference is going to make people thirst. They're going to think, why? Why are they like that? Why do you submit to your husband? That's weird. Why do you do that? That's salty. How do you teach your kids to obey you? Ours don't. How do you do it? That's different. Why don't you gossip at work? Why don't you join in with everybody else? Why don't you do that? That's different. Why are you always kind to people? That's different. That's salty. We run a thing called Junior Jivers. One of the mums there, it's a mums and toddlers group. One of the mums said to my wife, what have you baked for us this week? Okay, so she clearly thinks that my wife basically spends her life baking for Junior Jivers. Nick said, well, I didn't bake. One of the mums at church who doesn't go to this group, she baked for the group. Wow. That's so kind. That's salty, isn't it? Why do you do that? That's weird. That's so kind. Why do you act like that? That's different. Let's be salty. Don't worry about answering somebody's question. Somebody asks you a question and you've only got a God answer. And you think, oh, I can't say that. They'll think I'm an idiot. No, that's exactly what we're supposed to say, okay? Say the God answer. That's salty. Say the God answer. How does the person whose heart and mind is set above live in the world? A world that is obsessed with earthly things. Answer, we pray for opportunities to say something about Jesus. We act wisely, looking for the opportunities when they come. We grab them when they come. And we say something about what we believe. That's the first thing Paul says. Pray for things above and much more quickly. But as important, I think the second thing he says is this. Partner in things above. Partner in things above. Look with me, verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a faithful servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You've received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God. They have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he's working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. You remember Phuket Beach? Remember trying to do it on your own? Surrounded by people on Facebook who are enjoying their lives and doing whatever they like. Remember how discouraging that might be, how might you easily give up, might easily stop seeing life properly. Remember how important it would have been to have a team, a bunch of people in it with us, believing the same things that we believe, backing us, endorsing us, seeing life just like us. That's what these verses, I think, are about. Name after name, isn't it? Name after name after name after name of partners in ministry. People who see life in exactly the same way. People whose hearts and minds are set above and are continuing to live in Jesus. Tychicus, sent by Paul, verse 8, to tell the Colossians what Paul is doing. I want you to know what I'm doing. I'm doing the same thing as you. Keep doing it. To encourage them. Onesimus, their mate, is coming with him. I'm sending some people to you to encourage you. The Jews, Mark, Aristarchus, Justus, fellow workers for the kingdom. They all say hi. Hey, you guys, hi. We're Jews. We're the same as you. Epaphras, your teacher, your pastor, he's praying for you guys to keep going. Stand firm. You're not on your own. Continue. Luke, Demas, big names. It's like Ronaldo, Messi. Sort of. Demas, maybe not. They're for you. They're with you. As are the brothers and sisters down the road in Walton. Laodicea. Nympha's house church says, hey. Hey, guys. You have brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow workers, partners in ministry, people who see life just like you do everywhere. You're part of a massive army. That's encouraging, isn't it? The mission continues. Paul's in jail, but he's directing it. It's going out. People are going out left, right, and center. It's cross-cultural. It's full of brothers and sisters who all see life the same way, who are all praying for opportunities, being wise so to take them, and saying what they believe so that people might come to know Jesus Christ. That's encouraging. People, ordinary Christians, continuing to live in Jesus, setting their hearts and minds on things above, praying for things above, partnering in things above. Chap at Walton telling me the other day he's inviting his Muslim friend for coffee. That's great. That's encouraging, isn't it? Okay, if you know this guy, that is a big deal for him. That's brilliant. Partners in things above. Chap I know, Alex, invited his mate to read the Bible. We've read the Bible with him a few times, this guy James. He stopped doing it now. But we partnered in things above. Praying together, praying on a Sunday, praying once a month together, partners in things above. We're partners. It's so encouraging. We do a thing at Walton. I'm sure you could do it here, maybe. We do a thing called Tales from the Frontline. And so, every now and again, we say, hey, anybody got any stories? of evangelism, of trying to speak about Jesus. They can be awful as well. You know, they can be like, yeah, I really tried and it was terrible and the person now hates me. That's all right. That's still a tale from the front line. So encouraging just to hear people, we're at it, we're trying. Can't do it on our own. Revive, I like Revive. One of the things I love about Revive is you get into a place with a whole bunch of people who think the same way we do. They're all trying to win people, to save lives. That's a great thing, just to be in that atmosphere. We need it. We need one another because our example to one another and our partnership with one another helps us to set our hearts and minds above and see life properly. It's a great thing for us to partner with you guys. It's just a reminder. There's guys down the road doing exactly the same as we are. Can't do it on our own. Set our hearts and minds on things above and we will start to see life properly. We'll see we're on Phuket Beach. We'll see we're surrounded by dying people and we can offer them life. And we'll also see we're not alone. There's a great army of partners with us who believe just what we believe, who see life just as we see it. Why don't we pray? Just a bit of quiet for a moment as we pray to God. Our Father, we thank you for this encouraging word. Lord, help us to see rightly. Help us to have the right mindset. Help us to get our heads up out of the earthly things and up to our life in Christ. Father, you've saved us. You've made us new so that we can do the works that you have prepared for us. There are souls all around us who don't know you, who are lost. So, Father, help us to see that. Help us to have the right mindset and so to pray about our lives, our comings, our goings, our interactions. Pray for open doors. Seek them. Take them. Say something about Jesus Christ. Father, we will get tired. It's hard work, that. To see every moment of life as a possible opportunity to say something about Jesus. That is hard work. Thank you for one another. Thank you for the partners in our churches. Thank you for the partners in our clusters. Thank you for the partners in our network. Thank you for the partners abroad. Thank you for the partners all over the world who are setting their hearts and minds above and working for your kingdom. And Father, we pray that that we would be encouraged to keep going, to continue in Jesus Christ. And we ask it in his name. Amen.